Hi, I'm Jen Suliafu, and I'm delighted to be on this journey with you. Life is an exciting game with many twists and turns. It gets really good when we begin to learn how it works and how to win. I believe that no matter where someone's life is at, we have the power to make radical shifts to create a life that truly honors us. I live for awakenings, so let's get to it, darlings. Okay, hello everyone. Welcome back. You guys, I'm really excited about today's show. I am talking to a powerhouse musician, the one and only Talia Keys. Welcome, love, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
I got on my Talia sweatshirt for you.
Yeah, nice. Thank you.
Danny's got me all set up with all my Talia merch. I love it. Okay, you, Talia, you don't even know how much of an impact you've made on my life. We're going to talk about that today. And I think you know how much you've made on Danny's life because he's up front row when you were doing live shows. He's been at your events. I've been more home with the kids while he could go.
Yep.
But today I want to really delve into what I do on a normal basis is I talk to people about their stories. I'm so fascinated with people's stories and how they've gotten to where they are in life. And today I want to see what's behind this powerhouse that we see. I want to see what's behind the music and delve a little bit into your story. I do want to tell you about the night that I was introduced to you and the night that Danny, the both of us discovered you. And it was a big turning point for us in our marriage and in our lives. And it was a really, really special moment for us. But it was New Year's Eve 2016. Do you remember the show that you did? Can you go back to what that was?
Yeah. Was it at the Fallout or which? I can't remember which one. I've had too many New Year's.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering is if you knew what an important night it was. It was literally the first New Year's after they had legalized gay marriage nationally. So it was 2016. And I don't even know where the venue was, to tell you the truth. I don't even know. But it was a really magical night because we had these big plans with lots of friends. And we had all these other friends there that were at the venue. And you were rocking it on stage. And Danny, one thing about Danny, my husband, he knows good music. Like he's a DJ. He has piles and piles of vinyl. He's collected vinyl for years and years. He has all different kinds of music. And when he heard you, it was literally love at first sight for him. Okay.
Yeah, awesome.
So all of our friends, they were really like, oh, we're chasing the party. We want to go here. We want to go there. And they said, come on, we're going to go somewhere else. And Danny was like, no way. We're not going anywhere. We are staying here. This woman is amazing. We're not going anywhere. And so they were like, are you serious? And we're like, nope, bye. And so we ditched all of our friends really. And we stayed there and we brought the new year in. It was a magical moment for me because we, you know, we ditched our friends and I literally made out with the love of my life, bringing in the new year with you and your energy. And just, you were literally glowing up there on stage. Of course, not everything was perfect in the world at that time, nor is it today, but where you were at, and I could just feel the joy in your heart. And you were talking about Milan and we were introduced to you that night. And it was just, it was a beautiful night. So I thank you for that for sure.
Absolutely. Well, I definitely remember meeting you all. And from the moment I met you guys, it was like, well, these people are rad. I could feel a connection. And Danny's been one of my biggest supporters. Like bottom line, he has supported me so much and always getting merchandise or buying our vinyl records or telling people about me or booking me at shows even. So it was kind of like this symbiotic thing. I definitely remember meeting y'all and I'm just glad we've stayed in touch. It's awesome. That's why I play music is to meet people, make connections and you know, stories like this. So thank you.
Your music though, it reaches in and it just literally shakes people to the core. I can't even imagine if you would have chickened out on your purpose in life. You know what I mean? I'm just so grateful because I'm sure you had to jump hoops and I'm sure you had to plow through some insecurities. I don't see any insecurity when I look at you, and I don't think most people do, but that's what I like to go into. And that's what I want to talk about today is, you know, what has your journey been like? So one of the main reasons I'm so excited to meet with you today is because in my coaching, I've worked with men, women, teens, and a lot of people that were struggling with their sexuality and what people would think of them, or that are, you know, trying to remain unseen. And I feel like you are unapologetically you, and you're just so beautiful, and you don't worry about what other people hear or see or think about you. Let's hear a little bit about your story.
Yeah. When you first say that, I mean, I'm like, that's an illusion. every artist cares, right? We all care. That's why we do it. We totally read all of the press, the good press, the bad press. And I know that a lot of artists, including myself, tend to, it doesn't matter how much good press you have coming in, you'll focus on the negative stuff and you'll say, why did this person have a negative reaction to me? What's wrong with me? Instead of being like, no, they just don't see you. They just aren't in the same realm. They're not open to your message that you're willing to give. But it's taken me a while to get here and to be fully confident. Like, I was not confident when I was younger. I was a tomboy. I was definitely gay from a very young age, but didn't come out or didn't feel like I could come out. And so, you know, confidence came with years of being on a stage. That's, I definitely think playing music has helped me gain my confidence. Whereas when I first started, I definitely didn't, you know, and there's still shows where I get out there and I'm like, I'm a fake, you know, I'm just a fake. No one's, you know, and it's just your inner critic, basically, you know, your inner critic can be your worst enemy at times. But for me, like I said earlier, making connections with humans and seeing that my message does matter, and having parents come up to me after our rock camps and say, you know, you saved my daughter's life, you saved my kid's life. That is huge, because growing up queer and being a woman in Utah in the music scene in Utah is pretty ridiculously hard. There is a lot of barriers. There's a lot of preconceived notions. There's a lot of sexual harassment. There's a lot of pay gaps and opportunity gaps, and just like being a woman in any industry, really. But so for me, that just kind of fueled my fire. You know, once I finally did come out of the closet, become myself, it was not until my late 20s or mid 20s. It was like, I've lived my life not being true to myself for so long, I can't possibly do it any longer, you know? And you kind of just reach this point and this level. And I was a party animal. I was a young party animal doing my things, skiing a lot, you know, playing a bunch of bars. And I had this awakening. I had a really good therapist who kind of called me out on some of my stuff and said, hey, have you tried sobriety? And I was like, what? Sobriety? No, nah, not for me. And he's like, just try it. Let's just try it. I have a 9-week Kundalini yoga program that goes with it. You know, you focus on yoga, you just kind of cleanse your body. And what that ended up turning into was 2 years of sobriety for me. And for me, in those 2 years, I came out of the closet. I met the love of my life, Milan. I started to really put music in my main priority. I started to travel and tour, and I recorded and released albums. And it was just this thing that I needed to basically snap me out of the haze and the funk that I was in of being in the closet, you know, and not being true to yourself. So...
wow. So you came out in your mid 20s. Like, had you talked to your family? I know you're really close with your mom. Did she know? Were you on your own? Like, is that when you came out to your mom, or do you waited that long?
I waited that long for everything. I mean, once it really, I met Milan, you know, and being sober, I was finally able to face the thing that I was probably drinking to cover, you know, the fact that I was a pansexual human being, which is, I love all genders, you know, I just have human connections. And I'm attracted to all genders. And it's just, it took me being sober and clear headed to really fully accept it. But I've known since I was a young child, you know, I just knew it in my heart of hearts that I was different, but not really. When we really start to realize it, we're not different. But yeah, so it just really was a big opening and awakening. And I told my mom couple weeks after Milan and I started dating, because I didn't want to live in, you know, secrecy or anything like that, and came out to my band and came out to my friends. And you know how I am on Facebook. I came out to the world. I like to express my emotions on a big public stage and with hopes that someone will be connected to it and, you know, be there.
Yeah. Wow. See, this is the kind of stuff that I love to hear, because to us, to see you now, it just seems like, oh, you've always been this way. You know what I mean? You've always been just so comfortable being you. And so to hear that you waited that long. So how long ago was that?
I'm 36. So Milan and I, we just had our 10-year anniversary in June, and it's crazy. Time is flying. Yeah. So, I mean, I was in the closet for longer than I've been out. Right. You know, but I see it also too. I mean, I was born in 1984, and growing up, I mean, you had the AIDS crisis going on. You had all these things happening with, you know, the homosexual community and the LGBTQIA plus community. And there was, and I grew up in Utah. And so there's just so much negative stigma around it. And I think, you know, your environment teaches you, because when I was really little, I had a short haircut. I played basketball. I wore my Air Jordan shoes. I loved Ninja Turtles. I skateboarded. I was full on who I was. But when I hit puberty is kind of when I was like, ooh, you are different. Kids were starting to like make fun of me, you know, bully me for it. And therefore I became a bully, which is a part of my past I do like to talk about, because, you know, hurt people end up hurting people. And it's something I regret the most, is that we just didn't have acceptance back then. We didn't have as much, you know, my high school got rid of, they didn't have an allies club or a gay straight alliance club. Like, we didn't have any of those resources that a lot of our kids do have now. So I have hope for the future. Like, I really do. I see that there's so much more acceptance and children being allowed to be their true selves. You know, it's a beautiful thing. But on the other end of that, the people that are holding on to archaic belief systems and people that are holding on to this, that homosexuality is wrong, you know, it's damaging. It's very damaging, you know, especially now when you have this extreme, like, it's widely accepted in America. It's widely accepted. But then you have this like underbelly where it's just not accepted still. And, you know, people are putting bills into legislation to try to take away our rights every single year. It doesn't matter how far we've come. There are people that are trying to take the movement back, and more the reason to stay loud and proud. So I've got a lot of catching up to do. Maybe that's why I've been so just like, this is who I am. I don't care if you like it. You know,
that's what I love so much. That's why I wanted to have you on here, because I feel like this message is so important. And it's so important for not only youth, but of course, youth. I would imagine that it's so much harder when you're a child and you are under the rules of your parents, especially if your parents are coming from a certain belief system that it's wrong or it's bad. And so I think it's a lot. It's important for everyone, of course, for adults too, because there's, I know a lot of adults that are also struggling with being themselves and being comfortable being seen in the world. But I just feel like the more that we can talk about how, you know, these different belief systems, and the more that we can have those platforms to let people know that we do love them. And, you know, we are all the same. I love how you said that, that when you were like a child, you knew you were different. And then you were like, but actually I was the same. Because at the end of the day, we are all the same. I always tell Danny that if he, because he's my person. And when I met him, he was like, okay, I'm home. And if he were a woman, then I would be lesbian. Or if I was a man and he was a man, I'd be gay, because he's my person. You know what I mean? So, yeah. But when you say that they're trying to push the legislation back or push the laws back, I don't think that's going to happen. Because what I see is these younger generations that are coming in, they are more full of love and they're more accepting. And I feel like those old rigid beliefs are going away. Do you feel like that?
Absolutely. You know, you see it just from year to year, you see the old things dying off. And, you know, it just, it's a lot of it is passed down too. So if kids are cruel to each other, you know, it might be because of their parents' actions, or it might be because of learned behavior from their teachers or whoever it is. But we are seeing right now a lot of these type of thoughts boiling and bubbling to the top. You know, with Trump being the president for the last 4 years, it empowered and emboldened a lot of like dark things. And they have existed. I'm glad we know that they exist. I'm glad we know to the extent of their existence, but I'm not glad that they were accepted. I'm not glad that, you know, racism is a huge topic. I'm not glad that sexism and xenophobia and transphobia and all this stuff is boiling up again. It's like, we're 2021, y'all. Like, we should be well past this. We should have our climate crisis figured out. We should have our unsheltered issues figured out. Like, it's just, we're wasting time trying to take away people's rights about love and about their self-identity. It's like, no, we have bigger problems to fix. We have bigger issues we need to focus on. So quit focusing and attacking, you know, LGBTQIA community, and quit attacking our people of color communities. Like, it's, we're done, you know? So I do. I think that people are fed up. I think this summer was beautiful. The protests and the riots, everything. I think it was extremely necessary to get across some of these real realities that people face being Americans in the, you know, and anyways, I could keep going and going on it.
Well, but, you use your music for, and that's what's so cool, is you use your music for your messages, and your messages are so strong. It's so crazy to me to hear what you just said as far as earlier on when you were like, when I'm on stage, sometimes I hear you're a fake. It's like, what? No way. Talia doesn't think that ever, because you're so confident and your messages are so powerful. Like, you don't waste your time up there with your music. You're like, I'm going in and I'm going to use my music to really have a message that really can change the world. You know?
Absolutely. I mean, and that comes from my musical inspirations too. Like, Bob Marley was a huge inspiration from a very young age. And so were the Beatles. And the Beatles even had some political music, you know? And then on to Michael Franti and Spearhead. When I first saw Spearhead perform, it changed my life. Because before that, I had just played music. I'd never tried writing music. I have to write about what I care about. You know, I'd been to protests. I'd already known that I was going to be a political person. I already knew I was going to care about our planet. You know, you call me a hippie or whatever, my tie-dye hoodie on. But, you know, it was a big moment for me to see an artist using their stage and their platform for more than just like, look at me, look what I could do. You know, in so many bands, it is about ego. It is about this rock and roll ego, and it's about this misogynistic, like, archaic, you know, and I get frustrated. But seeing other artists say, you know what, actually, we're going to make this about a greater purpose. That is what gave me life to write music. And then for a little while, I got some, you know, I've had a ton of pushback. I've lost a ton of jobs. I have been asked to not perform at several of our ski resorts here in Utah. I have not, you know, I've been fired from several of the bars in Utah. And it's not like I come out and I'm like, if you don't agree with me, you're wrong. I come out and I play my songs. And I talk about, when you talk about legalization of marriage for everyone, I was talking a lot about that. I lost so many jobs that year. Just talking about marriage. And it's like, I'm gay. I want to marry my partner. I want to be with her. So for me, I had to connect the two. I had to connect the two passions, because I'm extremely passionate about both. And I feel like music is a universal language that if you're open to it, you can learn a lot from other people, you know, especially when it's not an ego-based music. It's music that's to heal your heart, or, you know, make you feel connected to your community or whatever it is.
Yeah. But. Yeah, absolutely. So yesterday you were live, me and Danny, we were having a drink and we cheersed you when you had your drink.
Yeah. Awesome.
So you write your own lyrics, you play multiple instruments. What all instruments do you play?
Well, primarily right now I'm playing a lot of guitar, because in my band, that's what I ended up being, is the guitar player, singer. But I started on drums. Drums are my number one love. That's what I did for over 8 years in my band Marinade. We put the drums at the front of the stage. I rocked the house, you know, leading the band on the drum set. So those are still my absolute favorite, but I play piano. I play some bass. I play synthesizers. This is our studio. This is where we've been doing our shows for the last 11 months of this pandemic. We haven't played any public shows. Everything's been done right here. Which is a huge change because we normally travel and tour the United States. We normally play over 70 shows from coast to coast. And so it was a really big, like, the carpet pulled out from underneath you when your whole career is just canceled, you know? But for us, it was good because we needed to slow down. I needed to get some health things in check. You know, we needed to spend more time at home and really just, like, focus in on what our big picture goal is. And it got us into live streaming. So we can play shows now whenever we want and people from all over the world can tune in. And it's kind of cool. We've had a bigger reach than what we would have had if we would have been traveling.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Wow. So when did you know that you wanted to do music? When did you start getting into music?
Well, so high school, for sure. I was in a band with some of my best friends. We were called the Vowel Movements. Don't get it wrong. So Vowel, you know, we were little shits, whatever. But, and we were an all female band too, which was really rare. And I look at that and I'm like, wow, that was really rare to have that. But I played acoustic guitar mostly back then. And I had a little box drum called the Cajon. And I would go around, we'd have house parties and we would just do spontaneous jams. And then I met people when I worked at REI for a long time. That's kind of where I broke out of my same friend group. I'm born and raised in Salt Lake City. So I knew the same kids growing up. We all went to the same schools and it was a Catholic school. So it was much smaller. So my first job outside of that was REI. And that's where I met people from all over the world. I had moved to Utah because it's a great outdoors place. And friends there played music and they had these, you know, potluck and jams and I'd bring my stuff. And people would react to my playing, you know, and this time I'm just doing Bob Marley covers or Spearhead covers or Janis Joplin songs. And so I could feel the reaction. And for me, I was like, whoa, you can. And I was shy. I was really shy. And this was my way to not be shy. This is my way to, like, get to know people and not have insecurities about myself. And so, yeah, that friend group got me playing. And then after that, I started my first band after playing some open mics and doing blues jams. Milan and I met at a blues jam at Speakeasy downtown. And, you know, we just didn't know each other, but we were both there because we loved music and we met and the rest is history. You know, 10 years later, we've been together. And so, yeah, just playing, like getting the reaction from other human beings is what said, hey, you should make this your passion. You should fully pursue this. And it wasn't long after starting my first band that it was like, okay, this is really what I have to do. So I quit REI. I quit my job up at Alta because I worked at Alta too. I used to cook and make, I used to be a prep chef. I used to cook in the fryer, make fries, make soup, all this crazy stuff. Make coffees for people. I worked at both those places for 8 years. So it was a long time of putting, you know, work in for someone else. And I was finally just like, I can't. I need to put this same amount of effort and energy into my passion and become a full-time musician. And so I did that about 8 years ago.
Wow.
We've been doing it nonstop. So
wow. It takes so much guts to do that because to know, hey, I'm passionate about this and can I make a living doing this? And I've got to let go of the sure thing and go and spread my wings and have faith in myself and my calling. So yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm so glad you didn't chicken out.
Me too. You know, REI had offered me a management position. Like they really liked me there. It was a great company to work for. I loved it. I had all the gear I could ever want and, you know, amazing people work there. But I was like, do I really want to go into this management position and work 40 plus hours a week towards, you know, retail? Is that where my heart is? And it just wasn't, you know, and for some people it is, and that's fantastic. But for me, music was the main passion. And I was doing auditing for REI, and that means I had to get there at 6:30 in the morning. I am not a morning person. But I did love that part of the job because I could work behind the scenes. I didn't have to help customers, which was a godsend after 8 years in the industry. So I would be playing the bars, going to bed around 3 in the morning, right? And then I'd have to get up around 6 o'clock to get to work in time to count all the money so the store could open up at 9 a.m. And then I would work all day, get out, go to another jam or another gig. I'd play that, stay awake till 3 in the morning again. It actually made me not like music, you know? For a while, I was like, this music is too much. It's taking on too much for me. And then it was like, no, stop. What's your perspective? What is taking too much from you? Is it your full-time jobs? Or is it this passion that is working? So yeah, for me, it was just easy to say bye and fully pursue what made my heart happy and what made other people happy. My impact was much bigger in the music industry than it was in the outdoor clothing industry.
Yes, you know? Behind the scenes. Wow, I love that so much. I love too how you talk about how you were playing and you could see or feel the reaction. You could see, oh my gosh, they're resonating with me. What I'm doing is reaching them. And yeah, you could absolutely feel that. That's so awesome.
Thank you. And music's an energy, you know, music is an energy. And then being at music is an energy. My favorite thing is to go see live music. You know, no matter how often I'm out there doing it, I love to go see my favorite bands. I love to be in the audience. I love to take notes. I love to be inspired. And it's this like beautiful relationship of give and take. And yeah, so I'm blessed. I know that sounds so cliche, but I really am lucky and blessed that I found my path and that I've stayed true to it for as long as I, you know, committed.
Yeah. So you have multiple albums out. You have 3, right?
Four or five. There's a couple that are not, I don't tell people they exist anymore.
With the vowel movement? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, we never recorded, but with Marinade, a band I was in for a really long time, Marinade, we released an album and the songs are great, but it's so funny when you listen to like some of your first recordings to where you're at now, you just like, I don't want people to listen. Yeah. But it's beautiful. It shows growth.
Yeah, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
But your latest is We're Here.
Yeah, We're Here. And I'm so proud of that album. It was about a year of recording and doing all the things to make it happen. It's the first album I did with my new band, The Love. We found a sound, you know, I feel like I found the sound that I've been searching for and wanting on my albums. And it's pretty awesome. And we have another short EP that we're going to release hopefully this year. So we've been working on that and that's going to be exciting. Yeah.
Awesome. Specifically this song, We're Here. Girl, talk about that. Tell people what the gist of that song is.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, it was really coming from being attacked a lot for being who I am. And that's number one, I'm a woman, you know, number two, I'm a queer woman. Number three, I'm outspoken and I don't care. I'm political. And for me, the chorus of that is we're here. Well, it starts with I'm right here. I'm not going anywhere. And it's kind of just this thing, like no matter how many people want to wish that you don't exist, it doesn't mean that your existence is worth less. Right. So for me, that was like my telling myself, like, no, you were put on this earth. You were given this life. There's no one that should take it away. There's no one that should take your light away. And for me, so the end of the song, we all know, has some swear words. I don't know if we should say it or not. Okay. So it's we're here to fuck shit up. Yeah. And it's a nice, the song is happy. It's very happy sounding. It's kind of got a reggae sound, a little bump to it. But I was just playing a riff on my piano and I all of a sudden came up with that main riff and I just started to say, we're here to fuck shit up. And I'm like, ooh, that's a song. So, you know, it all came in pieces, but you know, so part of it started with depression, but how you come out of that depression is existing even louder, existing in your full self and telling people, guess what? I'm fucking here. And I'm here to fuck some shit up. So, And yeah, it's kind of become a queer anthem, I feel like, but not just a queer anthem. I look at it as a misfit anthem because I talk about it being, there's nothing wrong with being a woman who's strong, and there's nothing wrong with a man who needs to cry. And these are just some of our most basic stereotypes that we put out there. And I don't think a lot of people realize that misogyny is actually really horrible for men. You know, misogyny does not serve men. It does not serve their greater purpose. And I think a lot of men are denied their emotions. They're denied their sensitive side. They're denied like their heart tenderness. They're denied their beauty. They're denied all the things that, you know, and then you could flip it and say women are denied a lot of other things. But that main point for me is misogyny really is bad for everyone. It's not good for anyone. So why are we upholding these misogynistic beliefs? And I just feel like there's so much power in every human being who they are, no matter what, you know, being true to themselves and not having these stereotypes or these insecurities that, no, I'm not man enough because I cry. Like, no, that's a bunch of bullshit.
Absolutely. So, that's funny that you say that, because I was literally just talking to one of my men clients earlier today about one of the most beautiful things I see is when a man cries. I love to see a full grown manly man bringing down his walls and crying. And
oh, it's amazing.
I feel like, you know, things have with the whole rise up for women the last couple years, it's been really awesome and beautiful, and I've seen it. But I knew from the get-go when I started doing my seminars and my group coaching, it wasn't going to just be a woman rah-rah, because I want to hold a space for men too. Because like what you talk about, how these stereotypes, I get grown men in front of me that have no idea how to connect to their children or their wife, because they've been taught to push down their emotion, not show emotion. And then they get married to a woman and she's like, well, why don't you tell me how you feel? And he's like, I have no idea how to do that. You know what I mean? So what a great point.
Yeah. And I just think that's just basic communication skills and basic things that need to change. And I do see them changing. Like we've talked about, our youth is definitely more compassionate and open to changing. But yeah, it's just about living and letting yourself fully feel. And a lot of people don't know that they can do that. And in Utah, women too, you know, don't be too emotional. Don't be shrill. Don't be, you know, don't overreact. Don't do this. Don't do that. Like, we're told so much. So you see it even worse here in Utah, where there's been one religion in control of all of the things.
Yeah. Were you raised in any religion?
I was raised in like, we could call it pseudo Catholic. We were Catholic because I went to Catholic school.
Oh, okay.
But you know, like, spirituality has always existed with my family. There a connection to nature has always existed. But I was lucky. I was lucky that my mom accepted me and loved me and supported me no matter what. She's the one who said, yeah, you want to cut all your hair off when you're 10 years old? Let's do it. You know, she fully supported all the sports I wanted to play, all the music, and she still supports me to this day. So I'm lucky. But yeah, having friends, seeing my other friends now who grew up Mormon in Utah, Milan did grow up Mormon in Utah. So yeah, I've seen some of the impacts that, some of the positive and very negative impacts that religion can have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when it comes to love, you and I have something in common.
Yeah.
We both love those New Zealanders.
Yeah.
I know. Those Kiwis, girl. So let's talk a bit about this. So Milan, what do you have with her? What does that mean to have that true love? Somebody that you really, really can build a life with, and having her in your life. What does that mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's everything that they tell you about in fairy tales and everything they don't tell you about in fairy tales. The good, the bad, the ugly, the struggles, the fights, the living in a van together for 30 days at a time, traveling, you know, facing adversity, to watching gorgeous sunsets on the ocean together in New Zealand. Like, it has been everything. From the moment we met, it's been electric. We both love music. We both love traveling and adventure and being outside. And it was really lucky. I just can't say it any more other ways. Just when I met her, I felt a connection. I'm glad I came out of the closet for her. I'm glad that she was my first partner and that it's just been this kind of wild ride of everything, you know, and working together, living together, touring together. It can be really hard on a relationship. You know, you're full time in each other's space, but we have developed and found ways for us both to shine, for us both to flourish, and for us both to feel supported. And I think that was the most important thing, is that we both are able to pursue our passions. And so Milan is really into filming. She's a beautiful filmer and cinematographer, and she's made a bunch of my music videos. She's into live sound production. She started learning how to do lights. So she's been doing projections in our room for our shows. She makes our website. And what's really cool is that she just naturally wanted to do a lot of those things. And for me, I can't sit down to make a website to save me, right? But I want to sit and play drums, and then I want to go play my guitar, and then I want to write a song, and then I want to go do something that doesn't matter. And so it's good. We've got these two personality types. So for us, it really is partnership. If I had to pick one word, it's true partnership, and it's love. You know, we love each other. And her family came over here from New Zealand when she was 9, I want to say. I should know for sure. I think it's 9. And she's lived here, but still has such a strong connection to her Maori culture. Her family actually started doing the Living Traditions Festival 30 plus years ago in Salt Lake City. And they have performed every single year at the Living Traditions Festival. And they do native New Zealand dances and New Zealand chants and songs. And for me, I fell in love with her even more seeing that, seeing her connection to her culture and seeing her family connection and keeping their traditions alive. You know, these are traditions that are thousands and thousands of years old. And I thought that was incredible. So yeah, as you know, those Kiwis, and they're passionate, you know?
Yep. So, I got my green stone on too.
Yeah, nice. I was wearing mine yesterday. I just took it off. Done.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love that so much. Just so it's beautiful to see the two of you together. I didn't know you came out of the closet with her or for her, or that she was your first partner. I didn't know that. That's amazing. Totally.
My first, you know, female partner. I had a couple of men that I dated and they were great, and it was great learning and great things. But, you know, I could just tell that there was something missing. And so that's also what kind of kickstarted my sobriety. It was just like, you're not being true to yourself. And so literally, I mean, it was like probably 2 or 3 months after I started being sober is when I met Milan. So it was really quick. And it was just like, wow, love at first sight almost, you know?
Yeah.
So very lucky. We're lucky.
Wow. I love that. My last question for you, my dear, what is your message to youth or even people that are older at whatever age that they don't want to be seen or they're afraid to be seen and they're struggling with their sexuality? What's your message for them?
Yeah. Bottom line is, the longer you stay hidden from yourself, the more damage you do to yourself, the more depressed you're going to be, the more isolated, the more down, you know, the more you try to silence your true self. It's almost like, you know, the Grinch. If I think about the Grinch and his big heart being shrunken down to this little heart, you know, and love starts with yourself. You know, you can't love other people. You can't put love into the world if you don't start with yourself. If you don't say, guess what? You matter. You were born. You were put on this earth. You have a purpose. And when I say purpose, I'm not saying career. I'm saying purpose. You have a purpose. And for everybody, it's different. And I just really urge people, the sooner you live your true self, the sooner your purpose will come to you, you know? And I just really do. I just believe in it. And if you can't be out and it's not safe for you to be out, know that there are resources at the Utah Pride Center or wherever you might live. There's always a local Pride Center. And a lot of times there are free counseling, you know, go talk to a therapist, go talk to someone, because sometimes it's not safe. You know, you would get kicked out of your house, or you're worried about becoming homeless or losing your job. It's all really heavy stuff. And so I would say find somewhere that you can be true to yourself. You know, even if you have to put up your walls and not fully be yourself with certain people, find the people that you can be with. And I can't urge that enough. So whatever it is you're into, find your group, find your crew of friends and your people that will support you and be there for you.
Oh, love it. Be your true self. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Where can people find you? Also, can you tell us about your kids camp? Where can people figure that out?
Yeah, totally. So on my website, taliakeys.com, TALIAKEYS.com, and all the links to our shows, to our music videos, to our albums, to our merchandise is all on there. And then also on there is a link to Rock Camp SLC, and that's for Rock Camp Salt Lake City. It was started as a camp just for girls to get them started to play music, a week-long session. But then we saw this need for trans and non-binary kids as well. So we changed our name from Rock Camp for Girls to Rock Camp SLC. And it's to get marginalized genders. Now, what's a marginalized gender? Pretty much anyone that doesn't identify as a cis man. To get involved in music, because the music industry is heavily male dominated. Less than 25% of musicians that make it identify as female. Even less are trans and even less are non-binary. So, but we exist, you know, we're here. We're just not given the same opportunities in the industry that our male counterparts are given. If you look at the Grammys, if you look at, you know, it goes for the movie industry. It goes for a lot of the arts industries too. Just these huge gender gaps. So Rock Camp started to get kids to play. And it's 6 years in the making now. We serve over 140 kids each summer. We have 2 week-long summer camps where they come, they join a band, they write an original song, they learn an instrument, they make t-shirts, they do self-empowerment workshops. Basically, they change their lives, they change our lives. And then we do one for adults too. So, and the adult one does some serious unprogramming, deprogramming, because us as adults have lived with these preconceived notions that we can't exist as we want to be, or that we're women, so we can't play rock and roll, or you're trans, so you're this or that. So it's even deeper heart work, but it's incredible. It's life-saving. We are doing online programming now because of COVID, but if this sounds like it resonates with you, or if you have a kid who this would benefit, please get in touch. You can reach out to me on social media. You can reach out to Rock Camp on social media. And that's just Rock Camp SLC. One more time.
We're here to fuck shit up. I'm not singing it. You don't want me to sing.
Hey, come to camp. We'll turn you into a singer, right? We got you.
I sing when I want to make Danny laugh. I sing. Oh, thank you for being here. And thank you for being you. Honestly, I love you. And you're amazing. So
feelings are so mutual. And I love what you're doing and putting into the world right now. So keep sharing your heart. And I think it's great. So thanks for giving me an opportunity to share mine.
Okay, loves. Thanks for being here. Have a fabulous week and bye for now. Do you have a coach? I would love to take this journey with you to dive deep and start to shift those areas to create a life that truly honors you. I'll meet you on that bridge at whatever level you are ready, with either group or one-on-one coaching. You can check out my programs at jensuliafu.com/programs. Also, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and rate and review this show and give me your feedback. Also, please share this with your friends and family and be a lighthouse out in the world. Thanks for joining me.